when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious radio people out there, all you, especially all you precious Blood River Radio family listening to us. I'd like to welcome you to Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We are the only radio media I know of in the world that's dedicated ourselves solely to the defeating white genocide. White genocide basically has been in, in operation since Satan entered the Garden of Eden. But in modern times, it picked up speed when Christ was born, but it's really picked up speed in modern times, probably the past 125 years. And you can see it's just really snowballing now. But that's what we've pledged ourselves to do. We have pledged ourselves our fortune and our honor, really. I'm not trying to copy the dead old white guys, our forefathers, but that's what we're here for. We're here to fight the eternal enemy of white people. We all know who that eternal enemy is. He is Satan, the devil, that serpent, and he is represented here on earth by his, like old Biscuit in Florida says, and he named them well, the officer corps, the devil's officer corps. And who are they? They are the Jews, and they control every damn thing, and they really do. But anyway, I'd like to welcome you to the show again, and it is, let's see, my calendar to my right, it is March the 22nd, and if you're our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. Folks, it is Jesus Christ Almighty plus nothing. That is it. And all you new people coming on board today or recently, we always start this program with a prayer. We may be crappy Christians. I tell you what, we do strive to serve God, and we don't have to be good. All we have to do, we have to claim Jesus Christ, the precious saving blood of Jesus Christ, to wash away all of our sins. And that's, and once we do that, no matter what our sins, no matter if our sins are as red, as scarlet as this sweater I have on right now, it doesn't matter. The precious saving blood of Jesus Christ will wash those sins away like they'd be as white as snow. That's what Scripture says. And we always go to a prayer. And we have one of my favorite people in the whole world, one of my best friends. He's like a son to me. He's going to come out. He's a hardcore Christian. He's going to lead us off in prayer. And it's none other than my spirit son, Jason Robb, attorney at law. I'm so proud of that kid. Jason, if you will, say hello to all people out there. And if you will, take us to the Lord in prayer.
All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to be with everyone here. And so, yeah, let's everyone bow their head and let's open the show with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all our listeners here. We appreciate them more than we ever can say. We're just thankful for each one of them for being dedicated to the show. We're thankful for Eddie Miller and all the staff behind him and Liberty News Network. We're just thankful that we have this opportunity to come on the show for 3 hours and help to awaken our people. We pray that you just give us the spirit of activism. You give us the spirit of dedication to our people. And we are thankful that we have a graceful God, a God that keeps his covenant to his people. And we are thankful that we can always come to you for any trouble that we may have. And we know that even though our enemies are out there trying to destroy us, we know we have an eternal God who will always protect us. And we ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A thousand amens to that, dear Spirit Son. We have no donors this week. We announced them all last week. We certainly did. Let's see the announcement. A quick outline. We will have political prisoner Les Borey. He'll be coming on for the second time on Blood River Radio. He'll be coming on the second hour with his sister Braveheart, Monica Schaefer. She'll be coming on, kind of helping to ramrod that, because Monica Schaefer, she was a political prisoner herself. Jason, I know you well know. She lives in Canada. Les Borey lives in Canada. Paul Fromm is actually the one who first got Les Borey on this program. Thankfully for him. He is so busy all the time. Paul's on the program quite a bit. But Miss Monica Schaefer, a.k.a. Little Sister Braveheart, she's going to be on the second hour. I think Jason can stay over and help that, because he's an attorney at law. And I'm sure he'll have a lot of questions to ask. And a lot, you know what? A lot of the stuff going on up there, Jason, that what got him arrested, I know people are thinking Trump's going to be some kind of a savior, but I'm guaranteeing, double damn tell you, he ain't, folks. Not for people like us. Not for people who are wise to the JQ. But anyway, with that and the further outline, you know, the old bitter ender himself, the old ex-Marine, and he says he's not proud to be a Marine anymore. He went down to the old Marine recruiting office and asked them what time do they take out the trash. And they said, what do you mean? They said, well, when we take the trash out, take this shit out here, too. And he threw them all his ribbons from Vietnam and all of his decorations. He's a proud Marine, but they screwed over somebody just because they had a Confederate battle flag tattoo. So I'm so proud. I tell you what, the bitter ender, Gene Andrews, he's one of the very few people left in this world that I do respect, including the fellow who's on this show with me tonight right now, Jason. With that, Jason, I think that's all the stuff, all the business I can think of to take care of right now. So would you like to lead us off? I've got a list of things. I sent you a bunch of stuff probably late, but you're here. You're smarter than me. You're younger, quicker mind. And so,
you're good at the flattery.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got to be good at something, man. Because I tell you what, I've alienated almost everybody I know, except you're one of the few people I hadn't alienated yet. But God bless you. Where you want to head today?
I would say, I think probably the biggest thing, you know, of course, every day seems like there's more and more news coming out there on just, and there's, it's hard to catch up with everything, but I think probably the majority of the news that I'm seeing out there is all these activist judges out there that are getting in the way of President Trump's orders, executive orders, and basically holding them, you know, unconstitutional, or holding it so they can't be implemented. And I think that is the thing that I see the most that's happening right now, is just because we see the overreach of the judges and the judicial system, which is nothing new. I mean, we've been having that for, you know, decades now, but you really see it now with Trump after, you know, winning the presidential election and really implementing an American First policy. We really see these anti-American judges. They're Marxist communist judges that are masquerading as American judges, and they're out there and they're just basically preventing Trump from going forward on some of his policies. And so really the question is, what's going to happen from that? Is Trump going to say, well, you made your decision, now enforce it? Well, just kind of like, you know, Jefferson, I believe it was, who said that. And I could have been wrong with the president here. But you see that happening, and it is really, I mean, I think I was watching something a couple days ago, and they said 60% of these orders that Trump has issued has been struck down by various district court judges, and they are all judges that are your liberal judges that was appointed by Biden or Obama. And so we really see a fight between the executive branch and the judicial branch. And so I believe it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to develop from that.
You know, I totally agree with you on these activist judges. I didn't know how many there are. By the way, not to be the we have this guy named Rich Hamlin. We always call him the fact checker. That was Andrew Jackson when he was battling the banks.
Yes, Andrew Jackson. I was trying to remember the president, but yes, Andrew Jackson. Exactly. Yep, that's correct.
It was this big Jew banker. His name, I think, if I remember right, was Biddle. And he's probably the one who's behind having Andrew Jackson attempted assassinations. I think there was two attempted assassinations on him that failed. There's a lot. It's so complicated with this Trump thing. We'll be right back, folks, at this. I can't believe we got the first break coming up, but don't go anywhere. We've got a lot to unfold. Long way to go, short time to get there. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. And we're going to go right back. I see. I was going to, I'll tell you what, I think I remember what we talked about. I'm not going to bore you people with my health history, what I went through last week. I thought that might be a point to tell people. If I get time, we probably won't, to tell you what it's like to deal with the bureaucracies, with bureaucrats that can't even hardly read and write in the Veterans Administration Hospital. Once you get in the VA hospital, the doctors are great. Once you finally get to them, but it's getting to the minority bean counters that the federal government has put in place that you have to deal with. And one of the good things that Trump's done is trying to get rid of a lot of them. But I tell you what, I've read a stuff. Jason, I'm going to say this right quick, like, we'll go to something else.
Yep.
But I know a lot of people don't like me for following this Chuck Baldwin. And I've never read anything. They say that he's a rainbow guy. I think Rich Hamlin told me he's rainbow. He's, you know, one color, one all. He's not a white nationalist like we are, which I'm a proud white nationalist. But I'll tell you what, that dude, Chuck Baldwin, is right on with the Jews. And I was reading where Chuck Baldwin was talking about Judge Andrew Napolitano and this professor John Mearsheimer. Mearsheimer was supposedly a West Point grad, served the United States Army, served the United States Air Force. You know, one time the Air Force was part of the Army. They called it the Army Air Force. He's a PhD, Cornell University president, professor of University of Chicago. And he said that, and I'll get you to go off on this, he said the truth is, Professor Mearsheimer's talking to Judge Napolitano, he said, The truth is, Judge, that the single greatest threat to freedom of speech in the United States at this point is Israel and its supporters here in the United States. It's truly amazing to the extent which Israel's supporters are going to enormous lengths to shut down free speech, not only on university campuses, but across the country. And this goes on and on. Napolitano is talking about, Trump being like a Trojan horse. That's just my words. I'm putting in a Trojan horse. He's doing all these wonderful things, rounding up these gangbangers and firing a lot of worthless people in the federal government, et cetera, et cetera. But, I got to round this up quick. But at the same time, they said he is really actually has expanded the government as much or more so than Biden. I didn't get to finish and go that over this article 100% because I got into reading it kind of late. In fact, it was the last minute I started reading this before we went on the program. And he said that this guy, Mearsheimer, Colonel McGregor, skipping on down, said, here's what McGregor says. I hope I'm making sense. Here's what Colonel McGregor says. I never have been a follower of McGregor, but I know other people like Michael Hill and people like that, and Rand, I think they hang on his every word. He says, Colonel McGregor's talking to, I think, Napolitano. He says, well, remember that President Netanyahu does not simply represent 6 million Israeli Jews. He represents Jewish international power and capital. And so he is treated differently for that reason. And he goes on to say that Trump, he says, why Trump is being allowed to be manipulated or exploited by this man who represents so many people. Why is he? There is a larger concentration of capital and power that he represents, that Netanyahu represents. And Trump knows that, and he's dependent upon it. He was dependent on my opponent to get elected, and now he's doing exactly what they elected him to do. Some people say they kept him out of prison. But, Jason, I tell you what, it's really hard, for a lot of people. I think I see through it. Not that I'm some kind of a warrior or something, or what do they call it, a prophet. But it looks to me like, what I'm saying is, and I'll preface this, what I've said, that I think within 2 years, I said this like a couple weeks ago, we will see Jews going en masse into the Ukraine, settling the Ukraine. It's one of the richest nations in the world, and everything you can think of, timber, minerals, precious minerals, farmland. But, and they said, one of the things that people will say, he shut down that war in the Ukraine. But McGregor and this other fellow says, I got to hurry up. I promise I'll round this up. They said that the war has already been won by Putin and that Trump is not too worried about that area of the world. He wants to shut it down, save money so he can start up all these wars in the Mideast. They said that he's getting ready to get us into a war in the Mideast. I know we didn't talk about this earlier, but if you can make sense out of me reading this crap so fast, how do you unpack that, Jason? I mean, how does this, the every ordinary guy that works a job every day, follows the news, sees all these good things that Trump's supposed to be doing, but then looks on the other side, he shut down Columbia University. He's withheld $500 million from them until he put in all these programs to kick people off the campus that have been demonstrating against what the Jews, what Israel are doing to the Palestinians. He's putting some people in jail, deporting them. I mean, shutting down free speech. How do we balance that? I mean, how can anybody balance all that? Any Joe Blow in the street balance that and not go crazy? What's your take on that, Jason?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think the average person out there, the average person doesn't get involved in politics. They don't embrace politics that much. I mean, they the average white person out there, white Christian, they believe in Jesus Christ. They are trying to just feed their family and have a good home and good lifestyle and try to raise their kids right, in the Christian, an environment, have a safe home and that's what they're focused on. They're not focused on the Middle East, per se. I don't think they are. They're not focused on these major universities, except they hear about it, and they know that these major universities are really a training course for the Marxist crowd, and so I think the average person is somewhat aware of that. But, you know, some people, one thing I think that we have to make sure, and this is just my opinion, but I think I represent a lot of people out there, that one thing we have to realize is we have to be careful that we don't try to pick a side of the Jews or, you know, the Arabs or the Palestinians. Because so often people out there tries to do that. And my opinion is they're both enemies of Jesus Christ. They're both enemies of our people. The Jews were the ones that were behind, you know, the Immigration Act of 1965 that changed our immigration laws. They're the ones that are the ones that were the biggest proponents in bringing non-whites into the United States to change the racial makeup. And to me, it's almost a little bit of a humorous because now we have thousands and millions of non-whites, and now they are on these major universities, and now those same people that the Jews brought in to try to destroy the white people and our white culture is now turning against them. And so it's like, you know, kind of like Frankenstein, like you created this monster and now you don't know how to control it, you know?
Continue on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's definitely true. And so we have these two adversaries out there that hate white people. The Jews are not our friends. They're anti-Christ, they're anti-white. And you have these Palestinians and Arabs and Middle Easterners, likewise, do not like white people. They do not like America. They don't like our Constitution. They don't like Christianity. And so they wanted to destroy either. So I don't care who destroys the other. They're both enemies of God, and they're enemies of our people and our culture and heritage. And so, but same token, I think when you see these average white people out there and they see these, you know, thousands and thousands of Middle Easterners on the campus, and they're destroying the campuses and they're protesting and all that, to me, I believe the average white person is basically having that racial instinct starting to bubble. They start seeing that. They see these non-whites here in America destroying the buildings and campuses. And from there, I think that's a good thing, because then I think white people start going to say, why are these people here? We need to kick them out. And so, yes, you have these Jews out there that obviously have an agenda, you know, and we all know that. But I always believe that, you know, when we see these things happening, it's always going to come back to race. And you're going to see these average white people out there seeing that and seeing this hatred for America. And I think that's a good thing for us, because they are now seeing the fruit of what the immigration has done to America and to the white race and Christianity. And so I think that is a good thing on that part. But the Ukraine and all that, I don't think the average person, they don't care. They don't probably care if the Jews control it. They don't care who controls it, if Russia controls it or Ukraine. All they know is they can't pay their bills. They can't pay their mortgage payments. They can't feed their kids. They have to have two household incomes to pay their debts. That's what they're concerned about. And I think sometimes people miss that. No, the main emphasis out there is that I think that's what the average person out there is thinking of. You know, they're not involved in the politics as we are. You know, we study that. You know, obviously you're studying that. Everyone studies these politics and the trend of what's happening. The average white person out there, they don't do that. And so, you know, I don't, good or bad, that's just reality of our people. But I do think that when they see these things on TV where you have these non-whites destroying buildings and destroying these universities, that is a good thing.
We got to go to a quick break, Jason. That is a great – I tell you, you did great on that. I know people can't wait to get back. Be right back in a minute.
Hi, How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. New Social Security rules presenting some barriers and causing major problems for a number of people in many farming and rural communities.
A new requirement that Social Security recipients go online or in person to a field office to access key benefits instead of just making a phone call will be difficult for many people like Veronica Taylor.
It would be the worst thing for me. Because I can't do the computer.
The 73-year-old can't drive and is mostly housebound in her mountainous and remote West Virginia community.
I don't have a ride to go there because most of my family, I don't have grandkids here. I don't have my daughter's not here. My son is the past.
The requirements go into effect March 31st, intended to streamline processes and combat fraud. I'm Julie Walker.
Heathrow Airport now fully operational after a closure yesterday sparked by a fire. But British officials and the airlines warn there are still chances of severe disruption that could last several more days. Also at townhall.com, legendary boxer George Foreman has died. He became the heavyweight champion of the world when he was in his 20s, only to lose the belt later to Muhammad Ali in perhaps one of the most memorable fights in boxing history. It was in Zaire, and it was called the Rumble in the Jungle. In an archive AP interview in 2016, Foreman says he should have stayed away from that fight and Ali.
You know, it's two of the best squared off, but I'd have taken that fight. No. If I had to do all over again, I would watch films and I would have seen. Leave that one alone.
Boxer, ordained minister, business tycoon, father of 10, George Foreman, dead at 76. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles and the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yeah, Blood River Radio family. Hey, we have Jason Robb on here. I consider him my spirit son. I think he did a marvelous job breaking down. I kind of threw him a curveball a minute ago because we hadn't talked about that Chuck Baldwin article. But he did a hell of a job breaking that down. Really eloquent and wise, and threw some things in there that I wasn't thinking about. But I asked him a question during the break. He talked about the hatred for America. And there's some things about America that what they did to the South of the Union flag. That's another show. What they did to, why there's so much hatred in the South years ago, especially for the Yankees. But anyway, coming down to nowadays, like they say in real time, I've just heard that phrase recently. I asked Jason, is two things. Is hatred for America really just hate for whites? I mean, if America was 90% black and 10% Hispanic, probably the hatred wouldn't be there for America. Is hatred for America really hatred for whites? And my second part of this question, and Jason answered a good bit of it a minute ago, but I'd like to ask him to do it again. Is there any way we can go to these white normies at these elite colleges? They're evidently very brilliant kids at Columbia, Cornell, University of Chicago, Princeton, Yale, Brown, all these other places. And the sad part is that a big portion of these Palestinians, the people that are protesting for the mistreatment against the Palestinians, Jason, were white. This white, intellectual white kids. But the trouble is, and Frank from up north, he said it's too bad that they hate themselves. They hate white people. They're talking about the white normies. Mm-hmm. If we could turn them around on our side, we could use them to fight the eternal enemy. So what's your answer to those two questions, Jason?
I'm sure you'll have them. Yeah, well, as far as there were a lot of questions there, so I'm trying to figure out the last two. The one, I guess, what can we do about these white normies? I think that's a good question. I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to have an answer to that. I think the biggest thing is that we all know that these universities and these colleges are basically a propaganda tool for our enemies. Kids come in there, they go to attend a university and college, and they're literally being brainwashed to hate America and to hate, white people and hate Christianity. And so, you get these white normies that are just maybe good kids, and they go to school, and they go to these universities, and they come out 4 years later or 6 years later, and they've been totally brainwashed. And so, what can we do about that? Well, don't have your kids go to these universities and colleges. I mean, that's the number one thing, because if you have your kids go to those universities, statistically, they're going to come back and they're not going to believe what you've raised them to believe. If you're a Christian and a white male or white female, and you go to those universities, you're coming back anti-America, anti-white. That's just statistically what happened. And so that's one thing parents should not do, is send their kids to these universities, because that's what's going to happen. But the other thing, and I don't know if it was a question or not, but maybe an observation, is the people, these our enemies, the Jews, Jewish supremacies, and the non-whites in their educational field, they hate America because America represents white people. They know the history of America. America was founded as a white Christian country. From the very beginning, from the Constitution, you only could be a citizen if you were a white, a moral person. You only could hold office if you were a white person. All the Supreme Court opinions said that in order to be a citizen of the United States, you had to be a white person. Every U.S. territory only restricted citizenship to white people. And so America was founded as a white Christian country. And our enemy knows that. They know that. America was 90% white all the way up until the mid-60s and early 70s. And so in order for them to change America, the racial makeup, they had to change the immigration laws. And as we all know, in 1965, that's when they changed the immigration laws. And all countries of non-whites, that were the ones that gave the priority that could come to the United States. And so our enemies know the history of America, and that's why they despise it so much, and that's why they hate it, and that's why they hate white people, because they know that America was built for white people. And so they're doing everything they can to destroy America and turn it into some type of a multicultural monster, something that we don't even recognize. And so I think that's why we see such a backlash now, is because we are really seeing a racial divide. We really see white people looking to see America doesn't resemble America that I was raised in. It's looking like Bangladesh. It's looking like China. It's looking like Africa. It doesn't represent the white Christian country. You know, Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. All those shows that we know in the back of the 50s and 60s, it's not like that nowadays.
And not only is it not like that, your people make fun and laugh and denigrate people like myself that like those days, that would like when I watched Leave It to Beaver when I was a young guy. I watched Andy Griffin shows like that. But you know what, Jason? That what you said reminds me, I think the Jews are doing to America what they did to Russia. I'm going to read a quick thing, quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He talked about the so-called Russian Revolution. And this, to me, reminds me of what's going on in America, but not with the gun and the knife quite yet, the way the Jew did the Tsar and his family. We're not there yet, thank God. But here's what he said. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, "You must understand the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia were not Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians. Driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. It cannot be overstated. Bolshevism created the greatest human slaughter of all time. The fact that most of the world is ignorant and uncaring about this enormous crime is proof that the global media is in the hands of the perpetrators." Again, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Jason, I see the same old enemy, the devil's officer corps, the Jew, what they did to Russia. Those people were basically, my understanding, the peasants were pretty much unarmed, unorganized. What they did to the Ukraine, with the Ukrainian holding them over and starved those people to death, from 11 to 12 million, the estimates go. I submit to you, Jason, that through massive, uncontrolled, well, it is controlled. Massive immigration is controlled because these people, these communists, these Jews that control the United States, have said they want to destroy not only the United States, they want to destroy Europe, they want to destroy the United States, and all so-called white nations with basically with the white European populations, they want to get rid of them through mass immigration, like we're doing to us, through miscegenation programs, but introducing. If you want to read more about that, you can get the book called The Clergy Plan, put out by Paul Fromm. He nails it, man. But they're doing that, Jason, I believe, in a more hybrid way, a hybrid warfare against us. And just before I go to you, I'm going to say, when I was a kid at Pine Hill Elementary, sixth grade, we used to get these things called a weekly reader. It was a kid's newspaper. It came every Friday. We would read them, and we would discuss them with the teacher. And I distinctly remember there was an article in the magazine, in the paper, the weekly reader, that said, and it was bragging, saying in a good way, that the United States was 90% white and a Christian nation. But you can't say that now. So what about that, Jason? Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely true. And you were talking about the Bolshevik Revolution, and actually it was a Jewish revolution. Now, we always hear about the Bolshevik Revolution. It was literally a Jewish revolution. I was looking up these, trying to look at these figures, but there was about...
Oh, we got to go to a quick break, Jason.
Okay, hang on. I'll come back after that.
Come right back to you as soon as this breaks up. Be right back, people.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. This hour just always flies by, but especially the first hour, because we have to do those housekeeping chores. But Jason, go back. I hope you remember what you were talking about. In case you didn't, I got something that might fire you up. But before I go back to Jason, I'm just going to remind people this one more thing. Those millions and millions of people that were killed that Alexander Solzhenitsyn talked about, we've heard estimates from Alexander Solzhenitsyn said about 66 million. I've heard other forces say upward of 100 million. And keep in mind, those people were killed by Jews. The NKV, the Cheka was at that time, it was composed of 90% Jews. It was like later on a morph of the KGB. They administered the gulags, the concentration camps in the far north of Siberia. And yes, sirree, they killed at least 66 white people there, most of them Christians. And by the way, I'd like to ask my people in the Southern Baptist Church, what happened to the rapture? I'm sure that there was probably say at least 30 million Christians there. How come they didn't get raptured up? What's up with that? That I stepped this in the side. But anyway, Jason, go ahead. And I got another quote later when you get through from Abe Boxman, our dear brother Abe Boxman, one of our best allies, you know. So go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I was just mentioning, we always hear about the Bolshevik Revolution, and it was actually a Jewish revolution. And I was trying to look this up before the show started, but I can get the statistics that people wanted to get, but they can probably find it online. But there was about 330 committees, members of the Jewish Revolution, of the leadership position. And what's interesting, of that 330, about 290 of those were Jews, out of that 330. And what's amazing, out of those 290 Jews, I believe statistically there was about like 210, 220 of those Jews were from New York. And so when we look at this Bolshevik Revolution, the Jewish Revolution, these were Jews that were from New York that were trying to destroy Russia, which was a Christian country. And of course, we know they slaughtered the family there. But those same Jewish supremacists that we see there are doing it here in the United States, trying to change our culture, trying to change our educational laws, and our culture. And so that nothing has changed over time. They hate everything that a white Western civilization represents, and they're always behind anything that is trying to change it. And so that, I just wanted to make that comment.
And you did, and rightfully so. That mesh those two, your comment and that Alexander Solzhenitsyn quote meshed perfectly. I got to read this one more thing if I can get it blown up enough on my phone. And this is from our wonderful friend, Abe Boxman. He's the president of the ADL. Of course, he's a Jew. What a shocker. I didn't know they had Jews president of the ADL. And I hope our good Southern Baptist friends are listening to this and our United Methodist buds who all worship Jews. He says, here's Abe Boxman. He's not trying to hide it, Jason. He says, I speak of the death of the white race. He's speaking toward a group at the ADL. I speak of the death of the white race, the complete removal of all means of reproduction of the so-called Aryan race. Men, we now control the destiny of this race. It is now time to make sure the white race becomes extinct through miscegenation. That's what we talked about a minute ago, breaking down the borders, flooding the country with non-whites, putting these blacks into positions of like the NFL, the basketball, what did they say? You got the NFL for the basketball, whatever the best, it was food for the football, whatever the basketball is, NBA. Now they get them all this money, and white girl women start worshiping, wanting to go out with them, you know, because they hear about how rich they are. But it's working too. That's all covered in the clergy plan booklet I told y'all people about earlier. He says, and he continues. Ab Boxman continues. We have all enjoyed the vision repeated all over the world every day of the last white children playing with little dark children, and knowing that they are being set up for their eventual destruction. We can ruin the ancient pure bloodlines of the Aryan child by convincing him or her of the altruism of begetting interracial children. We must expose the race mixing of the urban centers to the suburbs in rural areas of this country. Jason, to me, that sounds like hate speech, brother. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's definitely hate speech, you know, and obviously they're not putting that out for the average person out there to read. You know, that quote goes to a certain select few, and again, they're not promoting that as far as so the average person can read that. I don't know if it would make a difference or not, but you know, that's just an example of their hatred towards white people and our white children. And that's just not one quote. That Abe Boxman, he has made that type of statement over the years, and his fellow Jewish brothers said the exact same thing. So there's more than enough plethora of evidence of their hatred towards white Christianity.
It never, ever ends. This is the brief insert, I might say. I know this comes from part of this. I'm reading this on the internet right now, but it comes from, if people get that book, and I have a few copies left of The Clergy Plan that Paul Fromm sent me. It says, here you go. It says, this is, we Jews intend to turn Europe into a mixed race of Asians and Negroes ruled over by the Jews, ruled over by us. That was a statement by the Jewish EU, European Union, founding father, Richard Kordenhoff, clergy. In a print, I can't read that print that he put in, Praktischer Idealismus, I guess that's German. As that was written in 1925. If you people will get that little booklet, it tells he gives you the blueprint. This clergy dude, by the way, he was his mother was Japanese, his dad was Jewish, but they printed all this out. They put it all in paper for us all to read years ago. But even though they knew that we probably wouldn't read it, here's another little thing, and this is something that Miss Monica would talk about. This comes from. I won't try to read her first name. It's Aloni. That's her last name. Looks like Shularit Aloni. She's the former Israeli cabinet member. She's the winner of the 2000 Israeli Prize. She says, it's a trick we always use. This is pretty short. She says, here we go. Get this thing to print up. When from Europe, if someone is criticizing Israel, we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country, referring to the United States, because she was visiting from Israel, I assume, when in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. Goes along and says, and the organization is strong, has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. But anyway, they're open with it. I'm going to see if I have time to read this one more thing. I think you might have mentioned, let's see, what was, if I scroll this down right, it talks about the Statue of Liberty, that poem there that was put in. They talk about it. People talk about the stupid poem. It was put out by Imra Lazarus. If this is the poem they're talking about that was inscribed in the Statue of Liberty sometime a long time after it was put into place. It's the one that talks about how we want all your dark and your dusky people to come here to the United States and
bring your huddled masses. Yeah,
correct. And they talked about it just talks about how you mentioned the Immigration Act earlier. Let's see, golly, I got to hurry this up because we're running out of time. I'm having a hard time seeing this. It's kind of blurry. But since it's talking about the 1903 poem, it was added to the Statue of Liberty a long time after the Statue of Liberty was put in place. The name of the poem was The Melting Pot. It was first put on stage by a Jewish playwright. This is, looks like in 1924. But in 1924 also, the America passed the Restrictive Immigration Act. Was opposed by Jews. It was opposed by Jews, but praised by Hitler because, you know, we were restricting immigration to non-whites. They were starting to restrict immigration to Jews. And it goes on from there. And you mentioned the Hart-Celler Act. But anyway, I had one more thing I wanted to read if I have time. And let me just skip down here. If I can find it. Oh, this is quick right here. I was telling Jason during the break earlier, I got to make this quick. You know, Trump and these people are making a big deal about they're going to get rid of the IRS. But guess what? That will do no good at all, because what they're going to do, they're going to put a value-added tax for all the stuff that you purchase. When you go buy something, they'll get the money that way. But here's the thing. We ran out of money. Excuse me, we ran out of time. I was getting ready to read this thing about the Federal Reserve. I tell you what, hang on, Jason, for the second hour. Maybe they'll let me read this on second hour. But we're going to bring on Sister Braveheart, my little sister, Sister Braveheart, Monica Schaefer, and political prisoner, Les Boy, if I don't choke to death first. But see, people, hang on. It's going to be a long break, about 5 minutes. You've got plenty of time to use the bathroom, get coffee, whatever you want. Be right back, folks.